Do summer projects your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
From the beginning of the game to the end of the game, you went for it. And that's what wins. Always. No matter what.
That's why John Harbaugh has been the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens since 2008. Moments like that makes me want to get up out of my chair, go run into a wall and bounce off of it and bust my ass and land on the floor. That's good. Well done. Well done. I saw something in the sheet that I didn't quite understand, and now I understand it. Well done. And I still get fired up when I hear that John Harbaugh post-game speech. All right, and it fired me up enough to give the Ravens a big jump, Chris, in the Week 3 power rankings that we posted yesterday at PFT. The Buccaneers are still number one, and they'll be number one until they lose. And if they lose this weekend, the Rams will be number one because it's number one versus number two. Old school style. I like it like that. I know some people are salty that I put the Ravens up as far as they did, but I had to put them in front of the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs, and it's not like the Chiefs should plummet. You know, the best teams are still the best teams. I don't care what the records are. I like what the Ravens did. It was a signature victory. It was the most important win of the John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson tenure. And I think they're just going to roll from there. There's an aura. There's a vibe. Just like when they went for it on fourth down against the Seahawks. That was the moment they declared themselves in 2019. I think they're just going to build on it from here, and they're going to keep winning football games. So, I don't know. I look at it now and I see plus 10, this team's up 10, this team's up 8, this team's up 9, this team's down 10. But that's what you do in the early season. You're trying to figure out where everybody fits.
Yeah, I get it. I think you are. I'm with the, you know, the rest of the crowd. I think you've gone too high with the Ravens. I will. You know, I mean, just right off.
That's ironic.
Well, you know, from your logic there, then why aren't the Raiders higher up? I mean, that's where I just would question that one a little bit. Right? I mean,
the Raiders are in the top 10.
Hey, okay, but you know, you just said that 10. One team, you know, you gave credit to one team for winning a game where they really benefited
bigger
from
win.
The other team.
Bigger win.
At
win.
Home field, Ravens at their own the home Chiefs. Field.
Ravens beating the Chiefs was a bigger win. That was the biggest win of the season so far because of what it meant to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And if you doubt me, go back and watch the way Jackson reacted after those moments where they took the lead late or they cemented the victory. He understands what it means to him and to the team. It was a bigger win for the Ravens to do what they did to the Chiefs. That's why they're higher than the Raiders right now, even though the Raiders are 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't disagree with what you said there. It was a big win. I just wouldn't have put them that high. That's all I'm saying. Like, that would probably be the first thing that jumps out to me. You know, I don't know if I would put the Bills in front of the 49ers right now. That would be another one that jumps out to me.
49ers haven't been impressive, though. Have not been impressive.
Well, they were killing one team. They're two of the Bills haven't been overly impressive either. I mean, you know, that's where it's tough. I'm just saying, I just think my take is just that you're a little too high on them and the Ravens, and the other one is the Steelers. The Steelers, I think I would have definitely had the Panthers in front of them, for sure. The Steelers were lucky to win week one to a degree. If it's not a block punt and some flubs by, you know, Buffalo. So that was just the ones that jumped out to me. I'm not saying I'm right. I don't know. It's just the ones that I looked at to where if I can criticize Florio, that's where I'm going to criticize you.
I'm sure you're going, well, you're going to seize on anything you can. I felt bad about bumping the Panthers any higher because they're already up 10 spots. And I was on radio in Charlotte this morning. They want to give me a ticker tape parade in Charlotte because I'm the only one. I don't look at other power rankings. Apparently, I'm the only one anywhere that has them in the top 10. How can you not have the Panthers in the top 10?
Right.
After what we saw last week against the Saints.
Right. And, I mean, it was annihilation. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was an absolute butt-whooping. It was the Saints did to the Packers, the Panthers did to the Saints. There was really no chance at any time during the game that you thought the Saints were going to win that football game or come back. I mean, it was that dominant. So, yeah, people need to wake up to that. But I hear you. You know, you did. You made them have a huge jump there. I'm just saying maybe in front of the Steelers. That's all I was saying. I think the only one that really bothers me is the Ravens. I think that's it. You know, again, I know it was an awesome win, but – I guess I still got questions about them a little bit as we go forward here.
Well, maybe I got caught up in the moment because it was a big win and it was a signature win. And I feel like it's the start of something good for the Ravens after they've gotten through
the early season. Yeah.
Injury dysfunction. And I think most teams are going to deal with that injury dysfunction at some point in a 17-game season. The question is, can you get through it? Can you find ways to win even when you are besieged by injuries? Some questions here. Let's go with Florian Grossberg. Is the Buccaneers' tendency to take their foot on and off the gas pedal a cause for concern when they play the better teams? Look, they may just be like the Chiefs have been in recent years. You play up and you play down to the level of the competition. Every week, you're getting the A-plus game from every opponent you have. If you're in a position where you can take the foot off the gas, maybe you should take your foot off the gas from time to time, because every game that you play, the other team is treating it like it's their own personal Super Bowl, Chris.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have to, you know, answer that bell week in and week out, 100%. I'm like you. I feel the same kind of way. That was like one of the things I talked about, like on our Peacock, you know, Sunday night postgame show, was just that, yeah, the Bucs do have a little bit of that feel. Like, oh, hey, we're going to dominate you. We're stepping on the gas. Okay, we're winning. We're dominating. Let's play a little conservative. You know, let's not be the same on defense. We lose our intensity. Whoa, you're coming back? Hold on. We can step on the gas again. We're that damn good. We can take it off and put it back on and take it off and put it back on. So, yes, but I'm not concerned about it. I'm not. I think when –
How do you fix it? Do you just live with it, or do you try to fix it?
No, I think you do try to fix it. They just got to figure out that right blend, like Kansas City in that game where you're up 35-24 and had the ball like two times. I think they were up 28-17 at one point and had the ball two times. So where you just can't go, wait, we're going to protect our lead. They got to find that balance of like still being aggressive but not crazy aggressive. And that's, to me, that's a tough balance to find all throughout the game, especially when you do take a lead, because, you know, as we've talked about before, the mental psychology of the game comes in there too, to where, yeah, maybe Brady or Mahomes want to make that throw if the game's tight, but, oh, we're up by 10, I'm not going to take that chance. And that's where you kind of got to figure out, you know, what you can get away with and what you can do in those situations.
You don't want to give the momentum to the other team at a time when they're on the ropes. I agree with that completely. Yeah. And it's a long season. And, hey, the Buccaneers have some difficult games. The schedule isn't murderer's row, but the next couple of weeks need to have their full attention. They go to L.A. First time Tom Brady has ever played in Los Angeles. He will play the Rams this week.
One
when
versus
the Bucs go
two.
Out there. And then they go to New England the following week.
Yeah.
Here's a question from MikeNess18. Is there any area where the Bucs need to be concerned about? Chris, I think you and I are on the same page. They still have to stop the blitzing.
Yes.
Just trust their front four.
That's right. That to me is the only thing I look at that can really throw them off. It's just Todd Bowles getting impatient, you know, sticking to like, oh, this is what I do. This is what I, you know, you don't need to do that. You got a different team.
No risk
really
it, no biscuit.
It. Yeah.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Yeah. They got to be careful there. Because, you know, they risked it and they almost lost the biscuit in week one completely. you know, because of some of those over-aggressive defensive calls. So that would be the thing that jumps. I'm with you there. Jumps out to me too.
We talked about the Ravens already and why they're ahead of the Raiders, and we'll see how it works out in the coming weeks. As to the Bills at number 5, John Laroviere, 12, I'm not sure you're looking at Josh Allen the way he should be looked at. He had one decent season. Decent season? Really, John Laroviere? It was decent?
Last year was decent. MVP season. I mean, yeah.
And his completion percentage his last three games is horrible. I saw somewhere that his completion percentage is down this year, and I guess that's cause for concern, but I still am not going to sign on to this idea that what we saw from Josh Allen last year was some sort of a fluke. It was him arriving at a next level of performance that he's going to stay at, and I'm not ready to say he's not still there, Chris.
No, I'm not either. You know, definitely not. You know, again, yeah, they played a really good defense 2 weeks in a row in a lot of ways. Last week, yeah, they didn't need to absolutely torch it. They're a little off in their passing game. There's no question about it. You know, again, you know, they played two defenses who have extreme knowledge of their offensive system too. So let's pump the brakes. And here's the other thing I would say. Yeah, they're not an effective run team. We saw some balance from them last week. Maybe they can continue to do that. But my main point I want to make is the Bills' talent on the offensive side is way overrated. It's way overrated. Nobody's going, oh, my gosh, if we don't stop Emmanuel Sanders, we're screwed. Or, oh, my gosh, if we don't stop Cole Beasley, we're screwed. It's Stephon Diggs. He's the only guy there that's like a legitimate blue chip. Like, okay, we got to worry about him. That's it. So, what? And again, there's no Travis Kelce out there. Diggs is not Tyreek Hill, okay? And there's a reason Emmanuel Sanders is on his third team for the third year in a row. It's not because he's been so good and the teams are just like, ah, we can't figure it out. Well, we can't keep him. No. So that's the other thing. That's just haterade on Josh Allen. So, yeah, it hasn't been great, but we'll see how it goes and let it play out.
Raiders at number 8, and Chad Mixon asks, did a part of you feel it was too early to have the Raiders in the top 10? Look, the Raiders beat the Ravens and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks, and they still have to play the Browns. And they play all the teams of the NFC East, which is better than it was last year, but it's not like playing all the teams of the NFC West. When you start looking at the Raiders' schedule and we start spinning it forward, there's a lot of W's lurking there. This is a team that could be very good. And to start off the year winning against two playoff teams from last year, one team that was 11-0 last year, they went into their building and beat them. They outclassed the Steelers on Sunday. And to get that win over the Ravens to start the season, I think we have to... Well, I mean, Chris, they could be 6-1 at the bye. That's not crazy. 5-2, 6-1 at the bye is extremely realistic.
It is. I think every game is probably going to be tough and close. Like, they're not going to blow anybody out, but their offense puts tremendous pressure on you. You know, Gruden, Carr together. They never waste plays. And what I mean by wasting plays, they don't run a play into a bad defensive look ever. They don't. So they're extremely efficient that way. You know, they have 9 zillion ways to throw the ball 6 and 7 yards. And then now with that, they got guys to go, oh, wait, now you're coming up to stop our 6 and 7 yard pass plays? Well, now we got guys that can just take off and beat you man-to-man. And Derek Carr can throw it out there and hit you. And that's where they become really dangerous. They can protect the quarterback. The O-line, hey, Gruden and company, they knew what they were doing. It's not like as good as maybe it was 2 years ago, but it's still good enough, as we're seeing, to get the job done. Josh Jacobs is not even there. You know, and the defense at least is sound. That's what Gus Bradley's got them doing. They got a little talent in the secondary. You can see they're coming along. Trayvon Mullen, Arnett, Abrams, and... You know, it's allowing everybody to play fast and aggressive, and that's the biggest difference to me with the Raiders, and I think they are going to be, you know, in this thing. Just from what I've seen through 2 weeks ago, I'd be shocked if they're not in this thing when it's December and we're talking playoff football.
Things can change dramatically any given week, but so far so good for the Raiders, and they should be able to beat the Dolphins this weekend. We'll do all of our picks on Thursday for the Mega Picks Joint Podcast, and I'll go ahead and give you that little clue. I'm going to pick the Raiders to beat the Dolphins. Steelers at number 9. At Spirits West say, I thought you hated the Steelers, Mike. All is forgiven. I don't hate the Steelers. I hate all teams equally. We got to rank them. We got to figure out how to put them in here. I thought not enough of them going into the season, and I allowed myself to think too much of the win over Buffalo week one. I still think that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that they then tripped over their own shoelaces and lost at home to the Las Vegas Raiders, first game in Pittsburgh with a full stadium. Not that that really mattered. We've seen a lot of home teams with full stadiums lose so far this year. But, we're still trying to figure out exactly where they are. They probably should be a little bit lower. And if Ben Roethlisberger's hurt and it's Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins against the likes of the Bengals and the Packers the next couple of weeks, it's probably the last time they're going to see the top 10 all year long, Chris.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. I mean, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's hard to win the way they're playing right now. Like, just kind of inconsistent on offense. They're, like you said earlier in the show, there's no identity. I think they're trying to figure it out. And they're just hoping their defense keeps them in games and maybe can make a play or two to help the offense out and get a short field. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, I haven't really looked at their schedule. They got the Bengals this week. Okay, yeah, they should beat them, but I don't think that'll be easy. It won't be. The Bengals are a better
team.
What
if they don't have Ben? What if they don't have Ben?
That would scare me, too. Again, it's just not easy to go in there and just go, oh, I'm taking over an offense that is not hitting on all cylinders, and now, you know, I'm the quarterback as a backup. Yeah, there's definitely issues there. And the Bengals are a better football team. The Bengals blew it last week against the Bears. They blew it. They really did. They kind of had it, and I was sitting there going, it's 7-3, and it's just a matter of time. Joey B will start getting hot, and watch out. That didn't happen. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers lost the next four games. I wouldn't be shocked if they ugly win the next four games. I really wouldn't. It's hard to have a feel for them right now. And like you said, it's early in the season. We got to kind of continue to evaluate and reevaluate these teams to figure out exactly what they are. It's hard to get a complete picture after two games.
Three of the next four games at home leading into a week 7 bye. Right before the bye, it's a Sunday night Seahawks at Steelers. And you may be saying, well, wait a minute, didn't we just do Seahawks at Steelers 2 years ago? This is the 17th game. This is the formula. This is the way it works. They wouldn't be playing the Seahawks any other year, but that's how it fell as they did that inner conference extra game. Seahawks coming back to Pittsburgh this year.
Go ahead. I was going to say, how many times have you had to explain that 17th game to people when you say it every now and then? Like, I've had it so many times. This is their 7th, and they're like, what do you mean? It's not week 17. Yeah, and I'm like, No, this is the part of the extra game and the crossover scheduling. And I feel like I have to explain it to people all the time.
Yeah, and that game, and just for anyone who hasn't been paying attention, it is an interconference game, that extra game. It's not going to be your 17th game, your last game. It's going to be interspersed with the others. But it's an interconference game. It's driven by a rotation of the divisions and where you finished in your division the prior year versus where the other team finished. And in theory, you could cross paths with a given team from the other conference a lot more often than once every 4 years,
right. Which
is the way it otherwise is. And they'll still play once every 4 years, but in between that, they could see them again. All right, number 11, the Green Bay Packers, up from number 15. Number 14, the Saints, down from number 4. Smell My Cologne 1 on Twitter says, didn't Green Bay lose to New Orleans? And look, I am a victim and a proponent of recency bias, especially when it comes to power rankings. And the Saints looked so bad last week against the Panthers. They had to free fall. They had to. And, you know, maybe I should have bumped the Packers up maybe one or two spots. I don't know. In hindsight, 4 may be too much because we agreed yesterday that it really isn't all that impressive of a win. When you manage to successfully punch your punching bag, how impressive is that? This wasn't a big game for the Packers other than they needed to win. They got one of their easiest stops on the schedule, the perfect game. The Lions coming into town on a primetime moment when the Packers needed to win. Yeah, okay, fine. So maybe I shouldn't have bumped them up 4 spots because I don't know that that they have exercised all their demons and deserve to be on the fringes of the top 10.
Yeah, well, it's fair. I mean, the Saints obviously got some demons too, though. I mean, so, you know, it's hard there. And you know, we saw you're going to have some recency bias because, yeah, we're talking about, you know, Green Bay, who's been the number two seed in their – last year they were number one seed, number one and number two seed in the NFC playoffs the last 2 years. And you saw Rodgers and company getting a rhythm. So you always kind of think, well, uh-oh, here they go. Watch out. I don't know. That has to play a part in your psychology. That's a really tough spot on your power rankings, like 11, 12, 13, 14, even 15 there with the Cowboys involved in that conversation. I mean, hey, you could talk to 10 NFL head coaches and they could have that, you know, 10 different ways as far as how that plays out. Now, I think for me, I probably would have gone Browns, Patriots, Packers. No, I would have gone... I would have gone Browns, Cowboys, Patriots, Packers, Saints. I think that's how I would have done it. If that makes sense, did I say that right? I think I did. Yeah, I would have gave the Browns the 11th spot. I probably would have gave the Cowboys the 12th spot. The Patriots the 13th. Because even though those teams we just talked about there, they lost games in week one. They kind of outplayed their team they played. They just lost. They messed it up. And then I would have filled in there, I think, with the Cowboys and the Saints. But, hey, I understand. The Saints game was concerning there. I mean, that was concerning. They could do nothing. They got their butts beat, I think, worse maybe than they beat the Packers the week before. So that was ugly.
It is an amazing swing of the pendulum from one week to the next, and we react based upon what we've seen most recently. Question from MParis86 about the Browns being at number 12. They were at number 7 last week. Is it fair to drop the Browns 5 spots following a double-digit win? Well, all's fair in power rankings because it doesn't mean anything, but they were not impressive. They haven't been impressive. They were impressive in the first half of the game against the Chiefs. That's it. And my concern is the Browns aren't going to live up to the high expectations, and if Tyrod Taylor doesn't get injured, the Browns quite possibly are 0-2, Chris. So I want to see some urgency. They've got the injury to Jarvis Landry now, who's going to go on IR with an MCL. Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. Hopefully. Will be back this week against the Bears. Baker Mayfield, the misguided decision to try to make a tackle after an interception, and he's got an issue with his left shoulder. I want to see more from that team, and I definitely want to see more from the defense.
That's it, Mike. You said it. That's where we got to see it. I mean, the defense is the hands down the concern of the football team. You know, the offense is kicking butt. They're very efficient. They kind of can do whatever they want to do for the most part. Yeah, they made a mistake last week. They made a mistake at the end of the game of the Chiefs. But, I mean, man, they're phenomenal. The defense is concerning. You know, Tyrod Taylor came out of the game, and what was he? You know, I mean, hold on. I got the game here. He was, 10 for 11 for 125 and a touchdown. And then, of course, had a 15-yard touchdown run to go along with it. Like, yeah, who knows how that game plays out? They got to figure it out on defense. They do. I don't know what it is, if they got to play more man-to-man coverage. That would probably be one thing that jumps out to me. You know, they might have to mix up the defense a little bit. You can't just play vanilla Seattle scheme play after play after play. You know, they're not good enough to just do that. And too many teams know the Seattle scheme. It's just it's dying off. It's dying off. You got to have some curveballs involved in there. You can't just keep throwing that defense out there all the time.
At Guy101, what team currently on the right side of the ledger, the bottom half of the power rankings, has the best chances of making it to the playoffs? And here they are, 17 through 32. This one's easy to me based upon what we saw from the Titans.
Yeah.
I would say the Titans.
Right.
Right?
I think so. I'm with you there. The Titans and the Broncos, the Seahawks there. You got them all right there. But the Titans...
I'd go Titans-Seahawks right now. Yeah. Titans-Seahawks, the two most likely to make it.
I would agree with you there, yes. The Titans, they have a lot of things that you like about their football team. You know, they blew some coverages and messed some things up in the game last week. But, man, I look at their secondary and go, man, this Christian Fulton... You know, Janoris Jenkins on the other side, they can cover. You know, their defensive line looks pretty good. So, you know, they just got to figure it out a little bit or play a little bit more sound. Both weeks they had some mess up there, but I think their offense got rolling last week finally. And we'll see if they can keep it going. But I do look at them as that team, Mike. I'm with you.
Vikings at 24. They were 23 last week at Lisgo Skull. The Vikings move down. If Greg Joseph makes the kick, do they move up? Yes, they do, because they would have won the game. They lost. They dropped a spot. And I had to keep behind the Bengals. Otherwise, I would have had 75% of the greater Cincinnati area up my butt over the fact that the Vikings were somehow higher than the Bengals, even though the Vikings beat the Bengals. So I wanted to give the Vikings more credit for playing the Cardinals tough, but the bottom line is they lost a game they should have won. Last one real quickly, Chris. The Giants went up one in defeat. Don Johnson, 69, says, I'm not happy with the list. We deserve to be last because our defense is so atrocious, and we let Tyler Heinicke look like prime Tom Brady out there. But the bottom line is, I think they, I mean, in my mind, they won that game because, in my mind, Dexter Lawrence was not offside, and that first field goal was no good, and Daniel Jones played great, and there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic about the Giants moving forward.
Yeah, I'm not ready to close the book on the New York Giants. Definitely not. I mean, yeah, they played two pretty good defenses, and yeah, they had their moments of tearing them up, but they got issues. I mean, we know the offensive line, pass protection. I mean, Daniel Jones early in that game last week, holy cow. I mean, it was he had to look to see if everybody's blocked first before he could even look downfield. And sometimes he would look and be like, oh no, he's coming right at me. We didn't block him, and we had two guys on him. So there's an issue. And the defensive talent itself is, you know, there's a lot of good, but how talented is the secondary? And I don't know if they have an elite pass rusher. Ojulari looking good in through 2 weeks, but there's definitely some holes in the team. But I'm not ready to close the door on them yet.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to open the door to our weekly airing of grievances. Hey, Aaron Rodgers does it every Tuesday on Pat McAfee's show. We're going to do it every Wednesday on our show. More PFT Live right after this.
I think in this day and age of media, the things that get the most, it's all about clicks, right? And hits and views, and 1 second counts as a view. So the actually opinions that are garnering the most attention are the most outlandish. So it's not even overreaction Monday or Tuesday anymore. It's overreaction every time a microphone's in your face, every time you have a single shot in the camera and you get to talk to camera, every time you're on a panel. It's who can say the most outlandish things.
There's a certain amount of irony in that comment from Aaron Rodgers, because he's saying some pretty outlandish things there about how the media business works. He's clueless, frankly, as to how the media business works. You don't get a view for a second. You don't get a click for a second. That's not what it's about. It's about coming up with engaging content that people want to pay a lot of attention to, not a little attention to. You're trying to build an audience that is with you over the long haul, not bits and pieces. This isn't about shouting as loud as you can in the wilderness so you get attention for 5 minutes. You're trying to sustain something that lasts, oh, I don't know, 20 years or longer. So look, Aaron, I'm not going to pretend I know how to read defenses. Don't pretend that you understand how a media business works. That's all I'm saying, Chris. There, I feel better.
Well, no, I hear you there. I mean, I hear you. I do. But I think the broader point is still there. It's real. There is still plenty of people who are uninformed, who got big followings, and just yell out crap. I'm just sorry. Yeah, I mean, you know, again. Or you can even... you can be perceived that way at times too. Like, you know, I deal with it. It's a tough thing. It really is in the media business. I mean, but at the same time, no, I think there's enough of that out there to where, yeah, people making outlandish or, you know, headline statements, and you go, well, but I don't know if you really know what you're talking about. Watching, I saw you call, you know, cover 97 other sports this past week, but now I'm supposed to believe you're an expert in this one too? Like, that to me is where I can feel his frustration. And so I think there is some merit. Yeah, he didn't do the best job of maybe explaining that there, but I can understand it a little bit.
This is our airing of grievances every week. His appearances with Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk every Tuesday have become his own airing of grievances. And I said plenty about it last night on PFTPM. I'm not going to get into that again. I wrote about it at PFT. You can read it there. My point for now is this, Chris.
Yeah.
I don't know why he cares. The guy has won. He's won. He's making gigantic money. He's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. He's a Super Bowl MVP. Now, he's got plenty of things within the confines of his organization he's legitimately upset about. We talked about it yesterday. We've defended him. But I think it's a bad look. I think it's beneath him. You know, I always bristle at the phrase, you're better than that, because anytime someone uses it at me, I say, you just don't know me very well. I'm not. I can say this, Aaron Rodgers is better than that, and maybe he isn't, to worry about the stuff that people say. This gets back to what we talked about. I teased this an hour and a half ago. The criticism that we get on Twitter, that I get in the comments. My wife read them when we first started using them. She's like, why in the hell do you let these people say this? She's like, I don't care, because it's the passion that draws them. It's the manifestation of that passion. I don't begrudge them their passion. I can live with what they say. Aaron Rodgers needs to be the same way. We in the media help drive interest in the sport, which helps drive the revenue that allows him to make the money he's made and enjoy the life that he's had. The criticism comes with the territory. And look, this isn't just one or two voices in the wilderness that were piling on Aaron Rodgers after week one. It's everywhere. Anywhere you look. And this isn't just because Jermichael Finley decided to drop a couple of turds in the punch bowl in his comments to TMZ last week that started all this. Anyone with eyes and ears and who's been paying attention to what's gone on throughout the offseason was going to have a strong opinion about the possible connection between Aaron Rodgers' drama from day one of the draft into training camp and the fact that they showed up for week one and, as you would say, crapped down their leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't say it with a straight face. So, Aaron, you've won. You have won. Don't worry about the stuff that I say, that Nate Burleson and Bill Cowher said, that Jermichael Finley said, that Skip Bayless said if he criticized Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Don't pay attention to him. Don't pay attention to him. Don't pay attention to us. Just keep kicking ass. You've won.
I know.
Guys like Mike Florio. I mean, don't waste your time reading crap like that.
I mean,
that's before. Hey, that's before he started to look like Slippery Pete. By the way, go ahead.
Well, you're right. You'd wish that, yes, to a degree, but it's not the way guys like him are wired. They're not. You know, Brady's the same way. Russell Wilson's the same way. Mahomes is the same way. Now, they're not going on the Pat McAfee show and doing it there, you know, but at the same time, they're listening. They hear it. It's these guys are, you know, ultra competitive. You know, I do think there's an insecurity in all of them and like wanting everybody to like them and think I'm the best. And of course, they're also very aware of the legacy left behind in all cases there. And I think that's what affects these guys probably too often.
But there's a difference. There's a difference.
Yeah.
A guy like Patrick Mahomes, a guy like Tom Brady, a guy like Russell Wilson, even though Wilson would never acknowledge it, they use the criticism as motivation.
Yeah.
But they don't hate those who are criticizing them. They don't want to deplatform. That's what, if you listen to everything that Aaron Rodgers said yesterday, he basically wants people to get fired. He doesn't want people to have these platforms. How do they get these platforms where they can say these things? He doesn't want the criticism at all. He doesn't want to take it and use it as motivation. He just doesn't want the criticism at all. He resents it. He's got a vendetta against those who would criticize him. He reminds me a lot of a high-profile politician who would use his platforms to criticize any who dared to criticize him. It's just beneath him. That's my point.
I won't disagree there, 100%.
It shows a level of petty vindictiveness that I don't believe any. You talk about mental health. Hey, one way you want to enhance your mental health, don't let yourself get dragged down by all the BS
that's
to the point where you hate the people, you despise the people. Understand why we do what we do. Use the criticism to motivate you, but don't make it personal. Don't make it like, I don't want that person to have a job anymore because I don't like that thing that they said about me. That is what I'm saying is beneath Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not going to disagree. 100%. I mean, I'm with you there all the way. And yeah, I don't understand that, you know, the ability or why any of these guys let it get to them personally. It's not. It is part of the sport. It's part of the business. You're constantly being evaluated. Yeah, you're making a ton of money, and that comes along with the territory as far as being a quarterback in the NFL.
Do you have something for today? I'm sorry, I monopolized.
I mean, mine's not
chewed
nearly
up all the grievances time.
It's sexy. Mine will be quick. I'm sick of pass interference in the NFL. I'm sick of pass interference in the NFL on what I want to say is unfairly pass interference. And what I really mean by that is, like, Mike, you know, on like Monday afternoons, Tuesdays, I watch a lot of film. I'm going to say I watched like 9 games on film over the last 2 days. I probably saw 25, 30 offensive pass interferences. I don't know if one got called. None of them. In fact, on some of those plays, I bet you half of them, they called it on the defense. And it's unreal how one-sided it is. The rule states that the defensive player has a right to the ball when it's in the air. And there's just too often where contact can be made by a receiver. He's pushing off a guy to do whatever. You know, he can get the guy and throw him out of the way, and nothing's called. Nothing at all. But if the defender even did half of that, man, is it called, and there's 7 flags out there from all over, everybody on the field. Every ref saw it. Oh, yeah, hey, that was so that really bothers me as we go here. It really is. It's totally unfair to some of these defenders right now, and I think that's something that, like, I wish the NFL would look at it a little bit more and call it a little bit more fairly.
Tough thing to do in real time at full speed.
I know.
And we saw what happened a couple of years ago when they tried to make it subject to replay review. That was a disaster.
It is
making the NFL very, very gun-shy about further proactive measures as it relates to the incorporation of video into the officiating function. Let's take a break. When we return, we're going to draft the 0-2 teams we're most optimistic about. How about none of them? Well, maybe some of them. We'll try to figure that out next year on PFT Live.
Run Henry on the left side. He's got some room to the 45. He's outside to the 50. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10. He's to the 5. He's to the end zone.
Yes.
Touchdown, Titans. Derrick Henry just went 60.
Hump Day Homer Call of the Week, Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans, along
He's
with
awesome.
Dave McGinnis.
They're awesome, right, both of them. Love them.
Today's draft, the 0-2 teams we're most optimistic about, I think there's only 7. Pick 6 of
Who
them.
Who are we leaving
I think
out?
We should do a 1-round draft. All right, trivia question.
Yeah.
Sunday was Derrick Henry's 10th career game with 150 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, tied with Barry Sanders for the 3rd most all time. Name one of the 2 running backs with more. And before you try to answer, hey Pete, take a look at the answer and the question and ask yourself what's wrong with this picture. Go ahead and try to name one of the 2 that have more than Barry Sanders who is 3rd all time. Okay, Pete's fixing it now.
Okay, so over 150 and 2 touchdowns. I'm going to go
10
with 8
career games.
Yeah.
Others have more.
All right, I'm going to try to guess both of them. I'm going to go Adrian Peterson's one of them.
Womp womp.
Damn. Wow.
Try another one. You can still win. We'll still give it to you if you come up with the other one.
What about LaDainian Tomlinson?
Ding 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 ding.
That's one. All right, hold on. Let me just try to guess the 3rd one if I can. Damn, who would it be? I don't think it's...
All-time great.
I mean...
All-time great.
So it's... Is it Emmitt or Walter? It's Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Oh.
Jim Brown.
Man, it is Jim Brown. I thought it was too obvious. I just didn't think it would be him. Man, that's a good question. I like that. What was Pete's mess up? What did he do? Why was he...
Well... If he had Barry Sanders as one of the answers to the question, which had Barry Sanders as the guy that Derrick Henry matched.
Stupid
so
little Pete.
I was a little confused by that. Stupid little Pete. All right. I get the first pick, and we don't have a whole lot of time. We're not going to need much time. I think we got one pick each, and then it's like the hell with the rest of them. I'd say the Vikings, although they need to put the Week 2 loss behind them. That can't become another loss. They got the Seahawks this week. Then they've got the Browns. They better get a win quickly, or it's going to fall apart. But I like what they did against the Cardinals up to the point where they missed the field goal that would have won the game. Everything else, they're moving in the right direction. They just got to get a win. It's just like last year. They started, I think it was 0-3 or they were 1-3. Felt like they couldn't buy a win. And then before you know it, they're 1-5. They really need to get a win this weekend against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And if they do, they can erase what happened the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were, you know, Week 1, they showed a lot of fight and grit there, down 21-7, right, or 27. They come back. I mean, I still don't think that Dalvin Cook was a fumble. I think his butt was down, but they just never had that clear picture. So I'm with you there. I think that would have been my first pick, too. Man, As for as ugly as it's been, I'm going to go with the Colts just because out of all these teams we got here on this list, I still think they're the most talented of the teams. Yeah, they got issues, but still got a damn good running back, pretty good receivers. The defense is not a great defense, but a real good defense, certainly a top 10, 12-ish defense in football. So I'll take them next, even though they got some things to fix for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and they're in a division where they could get back into it quickly. They get a shot at the Titans this weekend. The problem is they may not have Carson Wentz. It may be Jacob Eason playing quarterback, which not a good sign for the Colts if it comes to that. I'll go Giants in large part because I got nobody else. Giants, that's it.
Yeah,
the Giants, in my mind, beat Washington. Daniel Jones is ascending, not quite the same as Josh Allen last year, but he's better. The offensive line was better against Washington than we thought they would be. They have a very winnable game this week against the Falcons, and maybe they can start moving in the direction in which they need to move in order to get into playoff contention. So give me the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I think we picked the three teams that – I mean, that's the top three teams in my opinion. I'm with you there. After
should
this,
we just end it there?
Well,
I'm not picking it. I'm already telling you, when it comes to me next round, I pass. I feel – I am not optimistic about any of the other teams.
If you're me, who do you take right now? I mean, I'm taking Detroit, right? I got to take Detroit. I mean, at least they were competitive in both football games, you know, and there's some things to admire about the way they approach the game. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not taking Jacksonville. You know, Atlanta, we've been trying to tell people for the last 6 weeks, it's crapville. Sorry. Just because they had a cool fantasy three guys in Pitts, Calvin Ridley, and Matt Ryan, there's still 19 other guys that are just not a good team. So I'll take Detroit over Atlanta. I'm not going with Atlanta.
All right, I pass. I'm done. I'm not taking any of the other teams. I'm not.
Two-round draft.
No, pass.
Not even enough.
Pass. I was his second choice.
Put it on there.
After pass.
Put it on there. Put pass on there. I like that. I like – all right, good. So pass. So now I have to come up with my last one there.
Or you can,
I mean,
pass.
Man, I don't like anybody. I don't. I really don't. I want to – I don't want to pass – I mean, I want to pass on all these guys as well, all these teams. The Jets, Jacksonville, and Atlanta, man, I mean, there's just –
big chair.
Man, there's a lot of issues. So, I mean, if you're going to make me choose out of those three, maybe I would choose Atlanta there, I guess, maybe. Because just the Jets, the injuries, rookie quarterback, Jacksonville.
You're not going to talk yourself into it.
No. So, yeah.
None of them.
It's crapville all the way there. I don't know.
All right.
Yep.
All right. The first ever two-round draft. There will not be a third round when PFT Live continues right after this. We were talking about the 0-2 teams about whom we are optimistic to turn it around. How about one of the 2-0 teams? And there are seven of them, Chris. 2-0 team that we're concerned about. Give me one that stands out to you that may give you concern. And here's the list for anyone who doesn't have it in front of them. The Raiders, the Broncos, the Panthers, the Buccaneers, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. Five of them in the NFC, two in the AFC.
Wow. Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, there's not none that just jump out off the screen to me. You know, I would say out of the NFC teams, I don't know if any does. You know, San Francisco has had some spotty moments, but they don't concern me overall. I guess the team I'm still going to look at here, you know, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Raiders. If you make me pick one, I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think that's the one that, you know, again, it's just no run game so far. Can you continue to ask Derek Carr to execute the way he executes? And even though, like I said, the defense is better, I guess there's parts of me that's still just not sure how good it'll be as the season goes on. You get worn down and people figure out, you know, what style of play you're playing. But, man, that wasn't easy. I don't know. I'm going with them. That's hard, though.
I hate to say it because I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater guy, but the Broncos of the seven undefeated teams, because I didn't expect them to be 2-0. I thought it was kind of lackluster against the Jaguars.
Yeah, it was.
On Sunday.
They were sleepwalking.
Would have expected a little more of a butt whooping if this is a team that is ready to really take off. So, hey, a lot of good teams are 2-0. There isn't a fluke there. The Panthers are unexpected, but I don't think it's a fluke, and they may not be able to sustain it, but they're still going to win more games than most people thought they were going to win. And the rest of them are powerhouses. I'm stunned there's only two undefeated teams in the AFC. And it's not the Ravens or the Browns or the Steelers or the Chiefs or the Bills or the Patriots. It's the Raiders and the Broncos. That's what's amazing.
It is amazing. You're right. Well, and some of those teams you talked about, they played each other, so that's where it's hard, right? The AFC, we talked, is so talented. But, yeah, I don't think – I mean, if you said, oh, yeah, two teams are going to be undefeated in the AFC and you told me it was going to be the Raiders and the Broncos before the year – I definitely wouldn't have picked the Raiders.
Could have made some money off of that one.
Not with those two opening games, yeah.
By the way, on the way out the door, you may have heard about the guy who had the 16-team parlay that all came down to the Lions on Monday night. That guy cashed in his ticket and got $133,000 instead of letting it ride. Wise decision, Chris, because it would have blown up in his face.
Oh, definitely. That was risky. I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers at home in Lambeau against a rebuilding Lions team off a bad loss. Yeah, smart decision. Very smart.
Why the hell did he pick the Lions in the first place?
Well, that's the truth. That's the real question.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Enjoy your Wednesday.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.